This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, a lot of people have a bucket list, right? You know, a list of experiences or achievements that you hope to accomplish before you die. And while everyone has their own personal hopes and dreams, did a quick Google search revealed some of the most popular bucket list items. For example, run a marathon. Headline, runner dies after collapsing at Minneapolis half marathon. Another popular bucket list item, skydiving. Headline, woman survives 15,000-foot skydive after parachute fails to open. Popular bucket list item, scuba diving. Headline, missing diver's body found inside of shark. Popular bucket list item, ziplining. Headline, 8-year-old girl injured from zipline fall. Another popular bucket list item, explore a cave. Headline, 5 people rescued after being trapped in the cave for 55 hours. Popular bucket list item, go on a hot air balloon ride. Headline, hot air balloon crashes in the tree in Rio Rancho. And look, I could go on and on, but I'm pretty sure you get the picture. But look, hell, in a lot of cases, the element of danger is what attracts people to an experience in the first place. But today, we're kind of talking about the opposite of that. You see, we don't know what you'd like to do. We want to know what you did and why you'll never do that thing again. So it could be, I don't know, bungee jumping, taking a cruise, going on safari, partying in Vegas. We just want to know that thing you did that you sure as hell ain't doing again. And that is today's question, reverse bucket list. What will you never do again?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat on this also positive Friday. The exciting return today of Ted versus the FCC. What a late night we had last night.
Man, oh man.
Coming up with some tongue twisters for Ted. Lo and behold, we get in here this morning. We get an email from a listener named Melissa.
Melissa.
And she submitted her own Ted versus the FCC.
Oh, come on, Melissa. Why didn't you let us know, man? We'd have gone to bed earlier.
So as you know, the listener always comes first. So, Ted, you're going to go up against Melissa today on Ted versus the FCC. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, fresh.
It's about Schlitz beer.
Schlitz.
You guys remember how delicious that was?
If you mean something other than delicious, yes.
It was a beer. How about that?
It was a beer.
Speaking of that, we'll have some updated locations on the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Now, that's a
beer.
If
you are going to the NBA game tonight at Climate Pledge, just know that our beer is available at Climate Pledge in the bright yellow can.
That is right.
So pick some up and hopefully cheer loud enough where we get our own NBA team. That's the idea, right? If we do well, they said. That's what the commissioner said. Mm-hmm. Silver said, look, we're going to wait first and see how the preseason game goes in Seattle, the one that we've been having here for the last 8 years, sure, right. 10 years.
Did he say that this year?
Yes, he did. This was all after the television contract stuff.
Right. So we're going to get that done first.
Because he said he had a line of things that he wanted to do, and he was checking off all those things. And the TV deal was the last one. After that, well, there was maybe the idea of two expansion teams coming into the league.
Something he wants to do. I would say take a look at the TV deal that the NBA put together and come to your own conclusion about whether or not Seattle's going to get an NBA team.
Well, it's looking pretty good, and the place should be packed tonight. I saw two men
signed a contract with the owner.
I saw two men step out outside of the hotel today, and I cannot believe. Until you see an NBA player on the street,
right,
live in person, you have no idea how massive of a human being they are.
Dude, so you said that, then I went to get lunch, and I came back, and there was a large brother. I don't know if he's a player. He might be a coach now, just smoking a big cigar. I recognize the brand of hoodie. I'm like, that's like a $400 sweatshirt. Just a midday cigar, and I'm like, he's either a player or he might be a coach.
He's got to be a coach. If he's smoking a cigar on Friday at noon, he is absolutely a coach, enjoying his time in Seattle. So hopefully if you're headed down to the game tonight at Climate Pledge, I'll pick up our beer in the bright yellow can. We'll have some updated information for you on that as well. We will drink a toast in the weekend with a shot of the day that it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Jam on.
And a Sunday night at the Showwear Center in Kent, the first ever KISW Halloween Hullabaloo.
Ooh.
Going down with Godsmack and Hailstorm, The Warning, Flat Black. We have a Halloween Hullabaloo-inspired Bad Choice Friday.
All
featuring
right.
none of the bands.
Correct.
That will be performing Sunday night on stage at the Showwear Center. So we will start with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street.
Ooh, spooky. He might slap you.
Look out.
I forgot how bad this song is.
If I remember it right. And we had just gotten back off tour last night. So the gang and I thought that it would be crazy if we summon up the posse and dumb rush the meat.
Ghost, get your you-know-what out of my mouth.
I'm trying to yawn.
That's why you don't sleep with your mouth open.
Mm.
Nightmare on My Street from DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince taking on the one and only Bobby Pickett.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
Does Bobby Pickett have any other songs?
Get on a Google
if he does,
right
does
now.
He singing like, hello. Does he sing it like the monster
It turns out this is actually my voice.
This is a dance song.
What's his name again? Bobby Pickett?
Bobby Pickett. Bobby Pickett and the Monster Mash. Taking on DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, A Nightmare on My Street.
He does not look the way I thought he'd look.
There's Monster Swim. There's a Blood Bank Blues, Transylvania Twist.
I see.
The Werewolf Watusi.
Yep.
Okay. I think he's
Star Drek.
He's got a theme going on here.
Star Drek.
Bobby Pickett. Vote now.
Scully Gully.
Follow us on Twitter.
Scully Gully.
At Men's Room Live.
Monster Rap.
He's got a rap?
Monster Rap.
How is that even possible? This song came out in like the 50s. Is he one of the first guys that ever rapped?
I don't know.
That would throw people for a loop.
That would.
The pioneer of the hip-hop genre.
What rhymes with Frankenstein?
One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast the weekend with a shot of the day.
Right. Kevin Klein.
That's not bad.
No, that's terrible,
actually. I mean, all things considered. Speaking of... head to KISW.com. See if there are any tickets left for Sunday night. I believe there are a few tickets left if you want to join us. Doors open, I believe, at 5. First band goes on around 6 or so, and it's going to be a great night. This is the first Halloween party of the year. Come dressed in costume and join us for a great night on Sunday night down in Kent at the Showwear Center. Hopefully the traffic wouldn't be too... Did you guys read again what they're doing this weekend
as
far as Seattle traffic?
You're basically shutting it all down again.
It is absolute. Okay, so first of all, the Ballard Bridge is going to be closed. The 520 floating bridge is going to be closed. Mm-hmm. Three lanes of 405, I can't remember if it's south or north, are going to be closed. I-5 down near Fife in that area is going to be
closed.
Going to be closed. I mean, it's one thing. The 99 tunnel is going to be closed starting tonight until Monday morning at 6.
God.
I mean, I don't know how in the hell, if you are downtown, you're going to get around. But either way, it's just that's what they do, man.
That is what they do. And they said, well, look, man, you know, we know everyone's mad, but it comes down to funding. I'm like, we all understand it comes down to funding, but the funding is not contingent on shutting down the city every weekend.
Yeah.
So I said, we'll give you the money, but only if you shut down the entire city.
Right. Yep.
Crazy. Just schedule it out, guys.
So today on The Question, we're going to talk about things big or small. It doesn't have to be that you climbed Everest or anything like that. It's a reverse bucket list thing. What do we mean reverse? Just what are you never going to do again?
Sure.
Here's a dumb example. All right, so at one point in time, Ted and I made a bet on a West Virginia Maryland Terrapin football game when we were in Baltimore. We've told the story before about leaving the bucket of ass-shaved hair in the kitchen,
which
did not go over well with a couple of our coworkers. But I lost even still, but I shaved my ass on the air. Now, what I did not realize, having never shaved my ass before, was what was going to happen 2 or 3 days down the road when these hairs started growing back in. Now, facial hair or, you know, ladies, your leg hair, I'm assuming, you don't always have an ingrown hair when it comes back.
Right.
It just pops its ass back out. That was not the case on my ass. It was about, it felt like 200... tiny bumps that had infected hairs on the inside of my skin.
How gross did your ass look? You had to look in the mirror at some point.
What?
I remember the hair bumps,
it
right?
Just, yes. And when I sat down, I mean, my ass burned. This went on until I got just about, until every hair broke free, so to speak, you know, in one form or fashion. So it took over a week for all of this to clear up just based on one bet. So I don't ever anticipate being in the situation where I'll ever have to shave my ass again, but I'm not doing it as something, as a voluntary bet, and I'm definitely, if I could, I can't imagine the procedure I would need. I know that they
shave. I'm going to ask, like, unless you're getting a tattoo on your ass, right? Because anytime you get a tattoo, they shave it. Even if you don't think hair's going on there, they're going to go over it with a razor. So other than getting a tattoo on your ass, what other circumstance do you believe potentially you would have to shave your ass? Like, is there a doctor that says...
I had a hemorrhoidectomy.
But you didn't have to shave your ass, right?
Well, they shaved certain parts of the area. Yeah, they did.
Did you go through the same thing again?
You know what? I might have, but the pain was so bad from the surgery that kind of just dwarfed everything else that was probably wrong at the same point in time.
Well, also, when you had that surgery, they probably didn't shave. They probably just buzzed it.
Yeah, just a quick little...
Yeah. Instead of actually shaving it.
Like when I had to shave my legs for that surgery, like I didn't use a razor. I just used clippers.
Right. Correct. But there was a discussion online about things that you will never do again. And just to give you an idea of what some of the people, you know, big and small things of the world, the people said, try and use an electric razor to get a nice clean shave on my boys. Apparently, that is not a good idea.
considering the fact that that is not a smooth and flat service.
No. So in fact, one of the text lines says, nair on the satchel, never again.
Yeah. Ride on those rubber rings towed behind speedboats. Sir, those are called tubes, and that that sport is called tubing.
Rubber rings.
Yeah. Flew off on a turn about 30 miles an hour, skimmed over the water on my boys, which then swelled to a medium-sized bag of groceries. The holiday was ruined after that one day.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Another person.
I mean, that's part of the fun, though, of getting towed behind, is you're going to get thrown off.
Well, until you get either an enema, or, you know, you just swallow water, or it goes flying through your nose, or whatever the deal is. That your shoulder can get ripped out of socket. Right. There's a million things that can happen when you hit the water. So
I mean, there is, but also there's percentage-wise, you'll be fine.
Difference is, if you're water skiing, you can let go of the rope and kind of come to your own hopeful stuff.
Let go
of the
rope. I think this guy's
being a little bitch.
I think he got flung through the...
Man, if I do anything and my testicles swell up to the size of a small grocery bag, whatever it was, like, I'm not doing that again. I'm just not. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Like, tubing is fun. We understand the inherent danger, but I feel like once your testicles are swollen, you're like, hey, man, whatever we just did, I'm not doing that. Yeah. You go have fun.
A couple other people said, I'll run with the Bulls in Pamplona, Spain. Did it when I was young and reckless, 21 years old. Now that I have a wife, a career, and responsibilities, there's not a snowball's chance in hell I'm ever going to do that again.
Do you have to be an adult to do the running of the Bulls?
Yes.
I would hope so. I'm just thinking when I see all the videos, I don't recall ever seeing, even like teenagers. I mean, it's all grown-ass men.
I had a buddy that did it. Same thing. He was like, it was awesome. Glad I did it. I would never do it again.
Really? Speaking of that,
what did he say the experience is like? Is it just like pure adrenaline? And how far do you have to run?
Frightening.
Like, are they
it depends on where you get in,
okay.
right? Because it's like a fence-long thing, like going through the town. Then it gets into the arena.
All right.
So a lot of people will just wait and kind of already be in the arena. You can kind of hop in and out.
Okay.
Like, there's definitely certain sections, like he said, like you're running. But then before you know it, there's a bull, you know, 10 feet behind you. He's coming quicker. So he's like, you got to hop up on the railing to get relief.
Aren't those streets basically cobblestone and bricks?
Yeah.
Not exactly even. That's not the most ideal situation to be running fast. I mean, as far as falling, tripping, spraining your ankle.
But it's also a
massive. Where's the ideal place to run when a bull is behind?
Someplace that's flat.
It's also a massive party, though. I mean, there's thousands of people go that don't run with the Bulls. You're just hanging out, drinking, watching.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be me.
And on the same tip, someone says, witness a Spanish-style bullfight. Now, I do remember when my mom and stepdad went down to Acapulco, and my mom was absolutely traumatized because they went to a bullfight.
What did she think happened in bullfights? Did she just have no idea?
I don't think that she knew that the bull was not going to make it out. That is correct.
Oh, yeah,
And the slow process behind it. Because the bull itself had multiple daggers in it before it actually finally passed on. And so I saw all the pictures that my stepdad took. He brought them back. And I was like, wow. I did not know. I just thought it was an Olay thing.
Well, that's the thing. As a child, I thought
they're
going to
kill the bull.
Yes,
because I'm watching Bugs Bunny, or you watch some, black and white movie, and you're like, yeah, that seems kind of fun. And then when I got older, and you kind of find out the conclusion, it's like, look, man, maybe give people a spoiler alert. It's like if my kids ever said, Dad, I want to watch Old Yeller, the first thing I would tell them is the dog dies at the end.
Right.
I'm letting you know now.
Yep. Another person said, trying to do my own bikini wax. As far as pain is concerned, I would never do that again. Skydive. First and only time I did it, a young guy and his instructor died due to the parachute failing to open. Didn't realize that until I was leaving and noticed the place was then surrounded with news vans. Never again. And one more. A guy said, I spent 10 nights in the Amazon rainforest, and I will never do that again. We just saw a video the other day of a guy
those ants.
In the tent with ants just eating his tent.
They're literally, you're watching them on video, eating a hole through his tent.
Eating his backpack, eating every single thing.
And it's raining outside. And basically all the other insects that typically would be outside of your tent are now in his tent because the ants have made this hole. So
there's some shelter in there for the bugs to get out of the rain.
Yeah, they're hanging out with you now.
They're just coming in.
I mean, he's also deep in like the Amazon jungle.
He is.
That's right.
Still, man.
That's what this person said. 10 nights in the Amazon rainforest.
10?
Yes.
Man, I think like if I knew I was going to do that as a trip, I'd be like, all right, maybe 3. It's like going to Vegas. Like, man, 3 days tops. And then let's get the hell out of here, right?
Yeah.
Still get the experience, but I feel like in 10 days, something's going to bite me that I don't know about. And not something big.
Mm-hmm.
Something. If you see, like, the centipedes down there.
Oh, the millipedes and the centipedes are huge.
Not to mention the snakes.
Man, I feel like.
I'd almost rather get bit by a snake than
some of those things.
Millipede.
I mean, seriously, dude. It's like, I know you don't like snakes, but as far as the damage it seems that these things do to, like, your skin or your tissue,
like,
or
a snake,
your
with
bloodstream.
Legs.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a buddy that went down to a ayahuasca camp in Peru.
All right.
Right? So you're deep in the jungle. And he said, like, during the day and sometimes, like, there's guys that kind of patrol the perimeter. And you'll hear a gunshot. And it's like, what's that? It's like, oh, they're shooting this giant snake that got into camp.
Oh!
Damn. Yeah.
No, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Like, that sounds terrifying.
Couple more. Run a marathon. First thing I told my wife when I crossed the finish line was, that was the dumbest effing thing I've ever done in my life.
I told you that before you started running.
New Year's. I had a buddy that did it once. Same thing. There was some soccer game on. I think he ran a full one. Might have been a half. Either way, we're like, hey, dude, when you're done, we're all going to be at the bar. Come meet us. Let us buy you a beer. You've earned it. He looked miserable. Mm-hmm. I think he had like two beers, and he was like, I'm never doing that again.
No.
He's like, I got to go home. Like, I hurt. I'm tired.
Did he drive home?
I think he did.
See, that's, to me, even just finishing a half marathon, it takes me about 4 or 5 hours just to feel anywhere close to normal.
Sure. That was the amazing
thing.
And
then days after that. You know?
Yeah, I just expected him, like, now granted, I'm only used to like 5Ks.
Yeah.
Like, after a 5K, you're like, F yeah.
Get a beer.
Get some beers.
Seriously, it's 10 o'clock.
So that's what I expected his energy to be like. I just crushed this. Instead, he was like, all right, seriously, I'm hurting. Like, I got to go home.
Yeah, you should seriously, because, you know, even when you run the half marathon, by the time I'm done running the half marathon and, you know, kind of just trying to calm down and settle in and all that stuff, a lot of the marathoners, they started before we did.
Right.
So now they're coming through. And you're watching these guys come through who did the whole route. And, I mean, yes, the guys in the front, they're paced.
Of course.
They're fine.
Right.
They're the man. But the people behind the man, they're struggling. And they are struggling hard. Because a lot of them are trying to make time so they can qualify for Boston or the New York Marathon.
But you're trying to qualify for time
marathons,
to do this again. You look miserable, but you're trying to make the time so you can be miserable again in a different
city. You just
city.
Don't run the New York Marathon. You either need to have sponsorship or you need to have qualified. So there's one of two ways you
can
do it.
My sister-in-law.
You can raise the cash or you can have the time.
My sister-in-law runs a New York Marathon every year. So every year. And look, she actually enjoys it, which blows my mind. But she, look at the email from her. You know, and everyone contributes money from the family. And she runs this freaking thing. In fact, when we went to Delaware, we had to pick her up in Philly. Okay, so she lives in New York City. She takes the train down. We're going to meet her in Philly. We're trying to coordinate times. And she's like, well, look, I'll meet you guys in Philly around noon because I'm doing marathon training. So I'm going to get up at 4:30 and I'm going to put in 15 miles, go home, shower, hop on the train. I'll meet you. And in my mind, I'm like, that's a full day.
That's a full day.
And that is what she...
her training run was what I struggled to achieve on a half marathon.
She did 15 miles in the morning.
I did 13,
she hopped on a train. Although, quick side note, when I saw her at the train station, she gives me a hug, hands me her suitcase, and she just says, hey, she's holding her stomach and goes, I really got to go to the bathroom, right? So she had
I bet you do
a power dump, right? She came back. I'm like, you okay, man? She's like, look, when I do this training, there's some kind of like... protein gel thing that you're supposed
to
use.
Oh yeah.
Well,
they're for hiking too and everything.
Apparently it has very ill effects on her guts.
Well, that was that Cascade, the North Cascade Marathon that I did. It was just 8 miles of holding in a crab. And I mean, I was holding.
That sounds terrible.
It was. And now you're sweating. Not only are you sweating, but now you're getting the butt sweats,
which makes it hard.
And you're getting the cheek.
You don't need to be lubricated.
You're getting the cheek chafe.
You're not sure if there's stuff going on back there.
You don't know if you've pooped yourself.
The more lethargic your legs get, the inside of your thighs start to just barely rub against each other. And before you know it, you got a diaper rash going from your gooch all the way down to your knees on the inside of your legs, just sweating. God.
Yeah, I don't understand what people do.
I will never do that again.
But how many times did you do it?
I've run.
Because you've done it more than once.
I've run 7, but I'm never doing it again.
I mean, my God, man.
Well, you know the old saying.
What?
Take 7 times to miss.
Exactly.
Just like baseball. Strike 6. One more.
Look, I'll do the 5K with you. I mean, maybe I could train to do a 10K, but other than that, it just doesn't seem like there's any point.
The 5K is kind of like, all right, we're doing something athletic, but it's also it's fun. And
it's
you're
for
right.
Charity.
When
it's...
you're done, you're like, all right.
Cool.
The 5K is for people that aren't actually runners.
Our question, the reverse bucket list.
Yeah.
That's why I've done it.
Yes. That's why I've done 5Ks.
Yeah.
What is something that you will never do again? 206-803-ROCK.
The shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Reverse bucket list. What will you never do again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So I went to school at the Air Force Academy, and they have a unique program. It's the only one in the world that I know of where the first time you jump out of an airplane, you are all by yourself in free fall. Most military training programs use a static line where the airplane basically pulls the ripcord for you.
Yeah, okay.
And most civilian skydiving programs, you're strapped to somebody tandem.
That is correct.
And they're doing all the work for you, right? Mm-hmm. The one at the Air Force Academy is all by yourself in free fall. It has been boiled down to they push you out of the airplane and give you the rest of your life to figure out how to pull the ripcord.
How long,
I would be nervous for days leading up to
How much training do you... I went skydiving once. I did it tandem, like you said. And when I asked about jumping solo, I didn't want to jump solo. I just asked if they offer that, and they said you can, but it's like a 3 or 4 hour thing that you do that day, and at the end of the 4 hours, then they put your ass in a plane and push you out. So how long did you guys have to train?
I bet you're still on a static line.
Yeah.
You know?
So to go through the free fall program at the academy was 3 days of ground school, roughly 12 hours-ish each day.
Now, does this include folding your own parachute?
Yeah, packing your stuff?
I know. So we did not fold our own. They had people that were better trained and qualified.
Okay, all right.
I hope you trusted them.
So the reason that I will never do this again is I got through the program is built around you do 5 jumps. I did 3 and everything went relatively well. And I, learned some stuff every time that I jumped out of the plane.
What is it like learning just to be able to kind of fly and understand?
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
The first bucket list, what will you never do again? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. I went to school at the Air Force Academy, and they have a unique program. It's the only one in the world that I know of where the first time you jump out of an airplane, you are all by yourself in free fall. Most military training programs use a static line where the airplane basically pulls the ripcord for you.
Yeah. Okay.
And most civilian skydiving programs, you're strapped to somebody tandem.
That is correct.
And they're doing all the work for you, right? Mm-hmm. The one at the Air Force Academy is all by yourself in free fall. It has been boiled down to they push you out of the airplane and give you the rest of your life to figure out how to pull the ripcord.
I would be nervous for days leading up to
Training do you... I went skydiving once. I did it tandem, like you said. And when I asked about jumping solo, I didn't want to jump solo. I just asked if they offer that, and they said you can, but it's like a 3 or 4 hour thing that you do that day, and at the end of the 4 hours, then they put your ass in a plane and push you out. So how long did you guys have to train?
I bet you're still on a static line.
Yeah.
You know?
So to go through the free fall program at the academy was 3 days of ground school, roughly 12 hours-ish each day.
Now, does this include folding your own parachute?
Yeah, packing your stuff?
No. So we did not fold our own. They had people that were better trained and qualified.
Okay, all right.
I hope you trusted them.
So the reason that I will never do this again is I got through the program is built around you do 5 jumps. I did 3 and everything went relatively well. And I, learned some stuff every time that I jumped out of the plane.
What is it like learning just to be able to kind of fly and understand where you're going and how you can control your
body? Looking at your altimeter and all that.
The first thing, you're not looking at anything except, I'll admit that the first time I jumped out of the plane, I was looking at the plane trying to swim back to it. Didn't work.
Okay.
Help! So the way they put you through the training is you're doing a very specific structured, they call it the arch count pull sequence. So you step out and then you have a very specific set of motions and counting that you're doing. And in the process of that count, you loop your right thumb through the ripcord and pull it out. And that is the end of the arch count pull sequence. And then you, in theory, parachute opens up and you don't die.
Yes, in theory.
On my 4th jump, I got through this arch count pull sequence. So this time I was starting to get comfortable with it, right? Like I'd been out of the plane 3 times before. And on my 4th jump, I got to the pull and check and I pulled the ripcord out, and I looked around and said, nothing's happening. And I was still plummeting towards the earth at 120 miles an hour. And then, so I did what I was supposed to do, or tried to roll my shoulders again. Turns out I didn't do it enough, but I said, nothing's still happening. Now, granted, in my mind, this lasted like a good 30 seconds or a minute. It probably actually lasted about half a second.
Okay.
And then at some point shortly after that, the next thing I remember is my left foot is over my head. And the next thing I remember after that is I was underneath the reserve canopy.
So your reserve did pop out.
My reserve did open, and there's actually a video of the jump. I mean, somewhere it's on a VHS tape at this point, but the reserve is a different color, so they know when you pull it, but you can see me on the VHS tape reach over to my reserve handle and pull it over. Like, pull it out and over the other way. So I pulled my reserve. I just have no memory of it. Whatever training they had given me beforehand kicked in, and I pulled the reserve ripcord when that's what I needed to do.
Which is probably the entire point of the training.
Can you steer the reserve like you can steer the main chute?
Yeah, you can steer the reserve. It's a little, the rigs we were jumping, the reserve's a little smaller than the main, but not significantly, and it is still steerable. The biggest problem for me was that when the main broke away, instead of going straight up and away from me, it went back along my body, caught my ankle, and flipped me around. That's how my left foot ended up over my head. But it bent my left knee basically backwards, sideways. I crushed my meniscus, torn ACL, MCL, and a bone bruise where my femur ran into my tibia.
Is that damn? That's why you didn't do a fifth jump, I'm guessing.
And that's why I did not do a fifth jump. Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean are you done with the academy at this point, or do you? I mean, you go back to jump school?
I've been out of the Air Force for a couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, you continued on in the program. You just couldn't take that fifth jump, right?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I continued. I graduated. I commissioned. I flew for the Air Force. I'm still a commercial pilot. So yeah, I spend a lot of time around airplanes. I just don't get out of them unless I really, really need to, or they're on the ground.
What is your biggest fear as a commercial pilot?
That passengers.
I mean, yeah, seriously, what is it?
Passengers.
I believe it.
Okay. And have you had instances where, you know, other than a medical emergency, where you had to take action?
I have had medical emergencies on a jet where we had to divert to an airfield that we weren't planning to land at. I will say that for most of the pilot side, we are well protected. You know, all the jets have cockpit barrier doors since 9/11 that keep us well insulated from anything that's going on in flight. And I'll give a huge shout out to flight attendants everywhere, because they deal with a lot more of that crap than we do.
how likely there was a woman who the pilot, I believe, was only two people on the plane. I think they were going from Las Vegas to Long Beach or something.
Dude had a heart attack.
He died, but she successfully landed the plane. Is that possible on a commercial? Because I always say to myself, look, if the S hit the fan, I want to jump up in the cockpit and try to land that thing. Is that complete crap?
Miles is going to kill us all.
Is that complete crap? I mean, could I be talked into landing?
I mean, the real answer is how have you had any aviation experience at all?
Zero.
Most
as a flight passenger.
Yeah, I made paper airplanes.
It's not going to go very well.
It's not. So
I don't think you should hope for that. It's probably the best.
Okay.
No,
I don't want you to die and have a heart attack either. It's not that.
I have a question for you too, because it's based on the same story Miles told. So she was on a single engine jet, which I imagine considerably easier to land than a commercial jet. But they said that the flight, the air traffic controller basically explained to her what to do. So are air traffic controllers actually trained in what it is to be a pilot?
Yeah, air traffic controllers have a lot of training on how to talk somebody down in that situation. And so there's certain basic things about airplanes that are common across all airplanes, right? I mean, push stick forward, trees get bigger, pull stick back, trees get smaller.
Yeah, I like that.
Push stick back too far, trees get really big really fast. So there are certain commonalities that all airplanes have, and typically, like a lot of the instrumentation kind of looks similar across different airplanes. So without knowing what kind of airplane somebody's in, or having some idea of what kind of airplane somebody's in, I believe most air traffic controllers get some level of training on how to talk that through. And if the controller you're talking to at that time doesn't have that training, there are people that the FAA has that they can get on the radio really fast.
Okay, so now listen, we go back to Miles' scenario. For whatever reason, John, you have had a heart attack, and Miles has volunteered his services to land this commercial plane. Now, he makes contact with air traffic control. They realize he is a civilian with absolutely no aviation experience. Even though they're talking him down, and they're explaining to him what to look for and what to do, are they really thinking to themselves, this man's dead?
So the other thing that that's different about large commercial aircraft is most of them have, it's not necessarily the regional jets. Like if you're hopping something from Seattle to Spokane, you're not necessarily going to have this. But like I fly internationally, right? So I go back and forth to Europe a lot. So all the bigger jets and even most of the bigger domestic jets have some level of auto land capability. It's generally only used in low weather, really bad visibility, really bad fog type situations. But for the most part, you can auto land a lot of different aircraft. And if that's installed on the aircraft, if that's doable, then that would be relatively easy for somebody familiar with that aircraft type to talk you through how to set it up. The other thing I'll say is that if one person has a heart attack up there, especially as an international guy, I always fly with at least three pilots, sometimes four on board.
What would you say is the hardest airport to navigate under, you know, inclement weather or just the size of the runway based on how large your plane is? Is there some place where you go, oh, God, you know, I don't want to fly into Montego Bay or wherever the hell it is, or John Wayne?
Especially when you're talking about big international traffic, most airports that the big planes fly into are equipped to handle the big planes.
Okay.
Yeah, but you look at Heathrow and those guys being blown sideways, you know, when they're coming in a 747 size plane.
And Heathrow is actually a little bit of a tricky scenario, not because of anything specifically wrong with it. It's just the amount of volume that goes through Heathrow, and they only have two operating runways. Like, I mean, London's a massive city, right? And there's a ton of air traffic goes through there. You compare it to something like LAX. LAX has four operating runways, and they're pretty busy all the time.
Right.
Heathrow has two, and they do nearly as much traffic as LAX.
So they're just flying in.
Heathrow has a landing during most of the peak times. Heathrow has a landing about every 30 to 40 seconds sometimes. Sometimes it's spaced out to about a minute. 30, 40 seconds is probably a little too.
I was going to say, when I was in London, we were like in North London, and we had the Airbnb. I was sitting in the backyard drinking a Carlsberg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the flight path of planes landing. But you're right. I've never seen planes that close together. And it was constant.
So I've flown into Heathrow lots of times, and sometimes like you don't see the person in front of you turn off the runway necessarily until you're 200 feet off the ground.
Jeez, that's wild.
You're close. I mean, that being said, at 200 feet off the ground, if that guy in front of you doesn't turn off the runway for some reason, it's really easy to push up the power and go around and do it again.
Miles was talking about
the commercial airplane that's gone around. It'll happen eventually.
Miles talked about the big planes. Did you fly smaller ones? Like, airport? I'm really just asking because flying into Missoula, Montana is the scariest landing I've ever been a part of in my life.
only in training, honestly. So I was a C-17 guy in the Air Force, so I flew large transport-type aircraft my whole Air Force career, and then got into doing big jets with Delta. So,
do you get frequent flyer miles when you fly?
No.
Okay, I just wondered.
Have you had to buy an airline ticket
in your lifetime?
And so it's really easy to travel non-rev if you're willing to be ridiculously flexible.
Okay, yeah.
If you have something that you need to be in place for, whether it's I have some event that I'm trying to get to, or I need to be home on a certain day, you're probably better off to buy a ticket.
But does your own airline, if you fly your own airline, right, as a passenger, mm-hmm. are they charging you for a ticket?
So there's multiple ways to do it. I have the ability to either list non-rev and fly non-revenue and fly for little to no money. Sometimes there's slight fees involved, or I can buy a ticket sometimes at a discounted price, sometimes not.
Okay.
Can you call rent a plane if you wanted to fly to the, I don't know, the San Juan Islands for the weekend or something like that? Could you just, is there a number you can call where you go like, hey, China, I just want to know if I could borrow the plane for like 7-8 hours. I want to go get lunch. Can you do that?
Borrow is probably not the right answer. but, you know, most major airlines do have charter departments. So anybody that has the means can charter an airplane.
Okay.
The means are outside of reach for most people that aren't.
Yeah, we know.
Yes.
We know that. That's why we've never been on a short-term plane.
Or, what's going to say? If you watch College Game Day, it's always like sponsored by Wheels Up.
I'm like, and who are you talking to?
I know. And I always look at it, but it's wicked expensive.
Right. It's also like the same ad on the back of the Seattle Met. Like, do you need a private jet? I'm like,
well, I'll tell you what. You know who's been flying around on chartered planes?
Who?
Is my nephew.
What?
Why?
When how?
He's going to Ole Miss. He made friends with a kid.
All right.
The kid's dad is the COO or CEO of
Kenmore.
Sargento.
Oh. So he's got he's making lots of cheddar.
So he doesn't.
Where do they go? Where do they fly to?
Well, for instance, last week he was in Columbia, South Carolina, because they wanted to go see Ole Miss at South Carolina. Basically, he goes to every Ole Miss football game.
On a private jet.
I don't know if it's a private, it's something that fancy. But basically the kid, and the dad, apparently, my brother's met him, super nice guy.
Sure.
It's just like, well, yeah, like I already fly planes, so it's a fun adventure. I'll just pick up your kid too.
Okay. Damn. Never had that offer.
Yeah. He went to Chicago to watch a Bulls game, and then they just flew back that night.
We need to make friends with cheese people.
I know.
That's what I'm
torn on whether I keep, and I love Sargento. But I'm like, I'll buy Toma. I don't need to be
supporting that habit.
I don't want to support this habit.
Gotta put him out of business.
The Cheese King is just flying around in a private jet.
Well, he flies planes. So, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's like a smaller plane or whatever. Right. I don't think it's like a jet because I've seen photos. But I'm just like, damn it, CJ. Like, I'm glad he has my personality and meets
people. You call it like Swiss cheese air.
Right. I love that kid. He's going to get in trouble soon.
Our question now, reverse bucket list. What will you never do again? 206-803-ROCK.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.